Colossians chapter 3. So good to be here. So good to be here. So good to see the family on this Sunday. You all, we're in the ninth month of September. Nine in God's numerology is the number of examination. So as we examine ourselves, all right, what the word says, judge yourself so you won't be judged. Amen. Does that say on?
Yes.
Thank you. So we're in the book of Colossians. We're finishing up. No, I'm sorry. We are continuing on the new and the old. And Natalie... Yeah, I'm going to be all over the place, okay? So I don't know what I'm doing this morning. I mean, I do know, but God knows. That's important. I don't know what I'm doing, but God knows, amen? That's all y'all are concerned about. If you don't, does God know? Yes, he does. Okay, we're in good shape. So Colossians 3. Family, let me continue to encourage and challenge you. You should be reading the Proverbs daily, amen? Remember, the Proverbs has replaced the horoscope and the fortune cookies and the lottery. Amen. And then I'm still going to challenge you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 on love. So you stay focused on what love is and what it isn't. And we do have to participate in our own spiritual growth. It just doesn't happen. So I want to challenge you, and you know, it's a lot of talk about today being 9-1-1 and all that and what happened 15 years ago. Read Proverbs chapter 9 today and just look what it says about, 11. We can read 9 too, but read 11 and just, it talks about the comparison of the righteous and the wicked. So read it and just see how God ministers to your heart. Amen. Amen. So, Lord, speak to us now through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a fallen, broken, dark, decaying world. We need to hear from you now, Lord. And we thank you as we've blessed you, Lord. We want to bless you again and just say thank you. You're great and greatly to be praised. Thank you for speaking to us during worship, Lord. Now we ask that you would speak to our hearts through your word, that we would live it and apply it daily. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Colossians 3 and look at 12, and we won't stay there long, but that's our base scripture. Remember, we're talking about the new and the old. We talked about the new being the humble, the old being the pride. So it's a huge difference between the new and the old. So as we put all this together, keep it in the context of new and old. So Colossians 3 and 12 says, put on, we talked about putting it on. We have to put it on. You don't have to put on the old. The old comes, batteries included. Amen. It's already ready to go. You don't have to put the old on. You have to take that off. The old is the natural. But verse 12 says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long suffering. So those are things we have to put on with the new man. But the word I want to focus on, it says, put on, therefore, as the elect. So make a note if you don't have it underlined. Underline that elect means chosen. So as we're chosen by God, saying this is how we're supposed to live. The word tells us that God chose us. We didn't choose God. Matter of fact, if we'll be honest, we would say that we know we ran from God. We didn't want to hear anything about God. We would have never chose God. But it says God chose us. So as we've been elected by God, it says we've been chosen. So as the elect of God. But let's take that a little bit deeper so we understand what it means. Turn with me to Exodus 19. Let's go to Exodus 19, and we're talking about the elect, the chosen. The men and I, we had a chance to go over this yesterday. We touched on it. We dug deep into it. It's a lot. You know, the word is so vast. I thank God for his word, and kind of sat in with the men this morning for a few minutes, and maybe next Sunday I'll sit in with the ladies for a few minutes. I just love to get the word of God and hear you all expound on it and just receive. Amen.
Amen.
But Exodus 19 and 5, it says, now, therefore, if you got to underline if our life comes down to two letters, IF, if all the promises of God are conditional, there we have to do our part. So God is speaking to Moses and he's saying, tell the children, tell my people, if you will obey. Obey means to listen. That word in the Hebrew means to listen. If you will listen to my voice indeed and keep, which means to do, to guard my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure. Underline special treasure. So we've been elected and we are God's special treasure. I'm kind of excited about that, but I guess, you know, it's still early. We've been elected and we're God's special treasure. And see, that's not prideful. That's not arrogant. That's just the word. That's why I said put on as the elect. But see, sometimes we don't know that we've been elected, that we're God's special treasure. And this world beats us up and makes us think that we are nothing. And if you don't have this and if you don't look like that, you're nothing. But God said, pump those brakes. You are my special treasure. And then Brother Clarence said something really profound yesterday in the men's meeting. He said, I don't think most people understand what that means, that we're God's special treasure. Because if I realize I'm God's special treasure, then I'm very mindful of where I go and what I do and what I say and who I allow into my life. Because I'm God's special treasure. We talked about maybe some of you that have a certain type of collections. I remember my first car. Who remembers their first car? All right. Who's riding the bus? Whatever. All right. Don't worry about it. You'll get there, amen. 1972 Mustang Grande 351 Cleveland engine. Powder blue with white leather vinyl top. On Dayton's, I might add. All right. Fancy, fancy. I remember picking up my girlfriend. No, I'm just kidding. So. Y'all know that's Tracy anyway. So, but I would shine it up and look it nice. I mean, it was. And Tommy, you still got your T-Bird?
Yes.
Ooh, man. Anybody seen Tommy's T-Bird?
Yes.
See, and when you have special treasures, you just don't take them anywhere.
Right.
You just don't let anybody just jump in with anything and do anything to them. When we realize how much of a special treasure we are, it changes everything. That's why when I said it, I wanted to hear your response, because do we really believe it? My buddy Reese, he had his first car. It was a Pinto. Who remembers a Pinto? The Ford Pinto that would blow up on you if it got rear-ended, right? But see, Reese, he was on another level, because if he washed his car, which he did every day, and if you touched it and put a fingerprint on it, you might get beat up. That's too far. But that was, I'm telling you, don't touch his car. Don't put a finger. Hey, you just go over. Hey, man, how y'all doing? And there you go. You got a problem. You touched his car. Because he's waxing it. It has his fingerprint, dust free. Even my car. How many of y'all, you keep your car in the garage? Who keeps their car in the garage? What's wrong? My car would not speak to me for a few days if I didn't put it in the garage. My car would be upset. My car would throw a fit, as the old folks would say, if I left it out overnight. That's just my car. And I don't get into my car like that, but it's not going to spend the night on the street. That's right. It ain't going to do that. It'll be knocking on the door like, hey, I'm out here, okay? But by the same token, God's not going to leave you out on the street. You're a special treasure. God's not going to forget about you. God's not going to leave you anywhere. We got to believe it. If we're going to go any deeper into this text, and you're going to go any deeper with Christ, you got to know that. You have to know how much of a special treasure you are. Young ladies, our youth, you know how much of a special treasure you are. That's when that guy comes up and says, hey, you know, you look good, this, that, the other. Stop, dude. I already know I'm a special treasure. Get away with all that stuff. You got to know. You will not sell out to some guy. Our young men, you will not sell out because you already know. Dude, I'm a special. God's already chosen and selected me. And he told me, if I follow and listen to him, then he has promises for me. See, but if we don't believe it, then we get caught up into every wind of doctrine. And somebody is going to make me feel special when you're already special. I'm looking for somebody to make me feel special where God says, you're already a special treasure. But if we don't believe it, do we believe what we read? So let's establish the foundation first. That you are a special treasure. That's why I said, as the elect, put on. You've been chosen, you've been elected, put on the new man. Take off the old. The old doesn't want to be special. The old wants to look for special stuff and other things. We talked about yesterday our special baseball card collection and coin collection and all that kind of stuff. And we got that stuff all. Anybody got, like, you collect stamps? Who does it? Who has a special collection? Okay, cool. I just want to know. I'm going to come when I need some money. Hey, Sherry, you got a special? Can we cash it in? I'm just trying to see who got it. Okay, cool. All right. Let me see again who got a special collection. All right, cool. Praise the Lord. 19:5. Now, therefore, if you will obey, if you will listen to my voice indeed and keep my covenant, the covenant that we have, we know that our covenant is in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And Pastor Manny had broken down the different type of covenants that God made. It's a beautiful thing. But know that we have covenant with God. Then you shall be a special treasure unto me. Look at this. Above all people, underline all people. For all the earth is mine. God says, I own everything. This whole earth is mine. And out of all the people on the earth, you're my special treasure. Because, you know, we get it in the streets. Well, what about the kids over in China? What about in India who don't know God? Man, I can't get into all that. I get into the word that says that you are a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. And we know that God is just and God is fair. He's not going to leave anybody out. He's going to give everyone an opportunity to accept Christ and to be saved. We know that. But people want to try and deflect it. So you're saying Christians aren't. This is what the word says. So let me show you what the word says. If you don't believe the word, then we really can't converse. But I'm telling you what the word says. And then Jesus confirmed it when he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Same thing God is saying right here. Same thing Jesus said. Amen. Verse 6, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy separate nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Go with me to Deuteronomy 7. I mean, I'm reading this, and so I have to do a whole paradigm shift. And okay, I'm reading it, but do I believe it? God's never going to leave me or forsake me. I'm a special treasure. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So why am I worrying about stuff? I mean, I'm not saying don't be concerned. I'm not saying don't handle your business. But where it gets to worry and anxiety and it starts sliding into something that it shouldn't be, you got to get back into the word. And not only that, you have to let the word get into you so you actually believe what you're reading. Just like anything else, God has a track record. It's what he tries to tell us. I have a track record with you. Some of us that are a little bit older, we've been with God for a long time. We've seen it when we've had nothing and God's come through miraculously, time and time again. So why am I worried now? Why am I going to start tripping now? That special treasure, God's not going to forget about me. He tells them again in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen, underline chosen, and that word chosen in the Hebrew means elect. Same word in Colossians. God has elected you to be a special treasure unto himself. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Okay, and see, then God says, wait, hold up. Before you start getting arrogant and prideful, he said, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number or because you were all that. It has nothing to do with you. More than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep that oath, that covenant, that promise which he had sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage. He's redeemed us from sin, death, hell, and the grave. All right. Now, we know that this promise was to the Jews, but through Jesus Christ, there's no difference between old and young, bond and free, Jew and Greek. White and black and brown is no difference. We're all one in Christ. We went over that. We're all one in the body of Christ. So this is us right here. He's brought us out with a mighty hand and redeemed us. We don't have to be slaves to sin. In the past, before we had the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever the flesh said do, we did it. And we were slaves to it. We thought we were free doing our own thing, but we were really in bondage. But now through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're free. We don't have to fall into sin. But we have the free will where I can choose to do what I want to choose. Even though God's chosen me, have I decided to choose God? And you can live a defeated life and be chosen by God because you haven't chose God. You haven't made the decision. God has made the decision, you haven't. So you live a defeated lifestyle. And you go through life frustrated because you never surrendered fully to God. And until you give God 100%, you'll never know. You'll never know. If you give God 80%, that's still partial disobedience is still total disobedience. It's still a part of it is still total. In God's math. Well, God, I gave you 80%. At least I don't do what I used to do, but I'm not giving you that. I can't give you that yet, Lord, but I'll give you all up. God said, you'll never know then. You'll never know what I could do until you give me 100%. All right, let me finish this. Where am I at verse 9? It says, no, underline no. You got to know. You have to know this, family. This is where it gets personal. You got to study. That's why I'm challenging you and encouraging you to study, worship, minister, and pray daily. So God can confirm and you know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keep covenant and mercy with them that love him. Same thing Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. God is so awesome. God said, if you love me, just do what I say. And watch me manifest in your life. Doesn't mean we don't have issues, we don't have concerns, we don't have problems, but we know that God is leading, guiding, and directing us. All right, let's just, I hadn't put this in it, but let's go to, look at verse 12. Take us to 12, Natalie. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you listen to these judgments and keep and do all these verbs, you got to listen, you got to keep, you got to do. And we know from English class, we know we're not good at math in here, but maybe English, we might have a chance. Math, well, I'm convinced we're done with that. We'll stick with 1 + 1 with math, okay? That's as far as I'm going with y'all with math, okay? But you got listen, keep, and do. And those are verbs. And verb means, all right. Verb is action. This is what you have to do. You got to put action to this. You have to be responsible for your own personal growth. God says you got to listen and you got to guard. That means keep. You got to guard it. You got to guard yourself. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. You're a special treasure. You're that valuable baseball card. You're that classic Mustang. You're that coin collection. You just can't go. You don't leave your coin collection out on the front porch. You don't leave your car with the keys in it and go run into the mall. You guard it. Then you do them that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto his fathers, unto your fathers. Verse 13, and he will love you and bless you. Wow. See, when we realize the peculiar and special treasure we are, we live differently. We got to internalize that. He will love you and he will bless you and multiply you. Will also bless the fruit of your womb, which are your kids, and the fruit of your land, and your corn, and your wine, and your, skip over the wine part, y'all. I don't need y'all blessing y'all wine tonight. Lord, bless the wine. Y'all too much, boy. I know. Y'all ain't got excited about nothing else in the message, but when you saw wine, you like, whoa. I'm into this now. You're all excited about God's word. Now you get to bless your wine. And your oil, the increase of your kind, the flocks of the sheep, and the land which he swore unto your fathers to give you. Look at verse 14. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your cattle. The Lord will take away from you all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which you know about, upon you, but will lay them upon all them that hate you. All right, y'all can get into the rest of that. I tell you, that's so deep. I could stay there all day, then get into chapter 8. But let's go back to Colossians really quickly. The new and the old, God's promises. But if you don't believe it, then you won't live like that special treasure. You can't get distracted by the counterfeit. God is the real deal. You are the real deal. You are the special treasure. Please don't get distracted by the counterfeit. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The last thing he wants you to know is that you are a special treasure chosen by God. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, for your ministry, for your business, for your kids, for your grandkids. The enemy wants to abort that plan. He wants you to sell out and to get caught up in all this other stuff that the culture is doing. And we know the easiest part is Sunday morning here between 9 and 10:30. Somebody say amen. That's the easiest part. That's easy, boy. But when we step outside these doors, God help us. That's when the real test comes. That's why we have to get into the word daily and fortify ourselves so that we can, that God can bring those scriptures to memory and we can stand for them. And you can call a brother or a sister and just say, hey, I just need to talk right now. I ain't got into nothing. I'm calling before I get into it because I'm starting to trip. I know I'm a special treasure. How do you handle it? It's the beauty of the fellowship we have here. I thank God for the men that are here, that he surrounded me with real men. The men know they all have my number. They can text, they can call. I have their numbers, and I try and talk to at least one of the men at least a week, and just to be built up, just to talk, because we go through stuff. Amen? Amen. Got to remind us who we are. We're that special treasure. We want to be the husbands and the dads and the men that God has called us to be. We want to put on the new and take off the old. Tell you all the time, when you're not here, you're missed. Don't be offended when we call and check on you, just because that's what we are called to do. You know, the enemy, the last thing he wants you to do is realize how much of a special treasure you are. It's the last thing. He wants to divide and keep you all jacked up and separated from this type of teaching. All right, so we're back at Colossians 3 and 12. Oh, man. Okay, we got a few minutes. So, this is a quick review, then I want to hit you with something new. Oh, that was tight, huh? Quick review, then I'm going to hit you with something new. All right, all right, all right, all right. Here we go. Don't try and steal my lines, Marquise. I know you're a musician, man. Lay off that. Lay off, man, now come on, man. Give me my copyrights. I want my residual on that, Marquise. So in verse 13, he says, forbearing, dealing with one another, and forgiving. Somebody underline that, forgiving one another. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, family. We can't get through this thing if I'm holding a grudge against you or anybody within outside of these walls, and I'm asking God every day to forgive me. That doesn't make any sense. Forbearing means that you deal with one another. You put up, you're long suffering. You patiently wait for one another, and then you forgive them. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, then you forgive them. And above all these things, put on love. We talked about that. That's why I have you reading love every day. I'm challenging you to read it, which is the bond, which is the glue of completeness. Love makes us complete. Makes you complete. Brings completeness to your marriage, brings completeness to your singleness. So you know what love is and what it's not. Verse 15, and the peace of God, and let the peace of God, the calm delight of God, rule your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We talked about the one body. We went over that, our spiritual gifts. We are one. The hand can't see. I don't need the eye and the foot and the leg and all that. We need each other. Otherwise, you would have rolled in here with no legs. It would have looked weird. But you need them. You can't leave them at home and say, I don't need y'all today. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ. Oh, here we go. Here's the new. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's what we get from the Proverbs, the wisdom of God, from Ecclesiastes, the wisdom of God. Teaching and admonishing. Admonishing means to warn. To warn gently. So I'm teaching you and I'm admonishing you through the word. I'm warning you gently. Oh, I don't know if I would do that. I don't know if I would go there. I don't know if I would visit them. I don't know if I would friend them. I don't know. I just don't know. It's warning gently, not going off on somebody. You warn them gently. That's what admonishing means. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. Woo! And hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So here's the new. It says teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. So let's start. Let's take a look at one of the psalms. Let's go to Psalms 1. How about that? If I'm going to warn you gently with the psalms, let's see how we can start this or teach you with the psalms. So it's not just a one-way street. It's to remind you who you are in God. It's to teach you. It's to admonish you, but it's to build you up as well with the psalms. So here's Psalms 1. It says, are we there, Natalie? Psalms 1:1. It says, blessed or happy is the man. And I looked up the word man in the Hebrew. It's mankind. So that includes the ladies as well. Blessed is the person that walks, underline walks, not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So you got three things going on. You got walking, you got standing, and you got sitting. All right. So blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, that your lifestyle is not based upon the words and the guidance of the wicked. So walk is lifestyle. So make sure you put that down there. Walk is lifestyle. Stand is where you choose to be. Are you standing in the way of sinners? Are you the reason someone else is practicing sin and you stand there? That's where you choose to be. He said your life is not going to be blessed if you choose to be the reason someone is all into sin. And then where you sit is where you choose to stay. I'm just here and I'm staying. And that's in the seat of the scornful. So you want to stay with the scoffers and the mockers and those that thumb their nose at God and just practice sin and say, this is just who I am. He said, teach and warn gently through the Psalms. So let's read that again. Blessed is a man that does not walk. Their lifestyle is not in the counsel, the guidance of the wicked. They do not stand in the way of those sinners. They're the reason that someone else stays in sin. And they don't sit. They don't just stay there. They don't inhabit in the seat of the scornful. That's where they choose to park. So I compared it to a car gear shift. If you compare it to a car gear shift, walk is like drive. You know, that's where you go. Stand, it was almost neutral, but it's not, because you're not going anywhere. It's actually reverse, because you're going backwards. And they're going backwards. And then sit would be park. You just put it in park and just stay there. What is our lifestyle like? Where do we choose to stand? And then where do we choose to stay? Flip the script. Look what it says in verse 2. Here's where we should be. But our delight is in the law of the Lord. And in God's word, we meditate, we study, we ponder, we think day and night. That's where we park. We should be into that word day, and that should be our delight. What's delight? It's our pleasure, it's our desire to get into God's word. Why? And then you should be like a tree that's planted. I looked up planted. I thought, when I first looked up planted, I thought it would be like rooted or grounded. But it's not. It says the word planted means transplanted, which means God has picked you up from the darkness and transplanted you into the light. God does that. When we get into the word, then it takes you from here to there. So, okay, I get that. And then we're by the rivers of water. And anybody who's, what do you call it, a horticulturist or whatever it is. All right. Someone who works with plants. How about that? All right. Yeah, you know how important water is. The right amount of water. Not too much, but just the right. Not too little, but just the right. It's saying you're going to be like a tree that's transplanted. God transplanted you by the rivers of water. And we know that Jesus Christ is the living water. And we never thirst again. And it says it bring forth your fruit. Fruit being translated into your reward in his season, which means at the right time, in due season, not in your time, but in God's time, it happens for you. And your leaf shall not fade. Your works, your labor, the things that you're doing for God will never fade. And it says, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. And that word prosper in the Hebrew, this is, you know, this is where people start all this prosperity stuff. But that's not even, it's not talking about name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. That's not what it's talking about. And whatever he do shall prosper. That word prosper means to make progress. Somebody say amen. Amen. God ain't trying to tell you to be perfect. You got to do. But God say, at least you can make some progress. When you're in God's word, you're making progress. And it says, and it talks about being profitable. It's a profit to getting in P-R-O-F-I-T. It's a profit. It's a benefit to getting into God's word. It allows you in your life. Sometimes that progress is just one tiny step. But you know what? That's a tiny step forward as opposed to four steps back. And I'll take that any day of the week. But when we delight ourselves in the word, and so it talks about as we speak to ourselves in Psalms, to teach and admonish. Then it does a comparison in verse 4. It flips the coin to the other side again. The ungodly are the wicked. Those that practice sin are not so, but are like the chaff. The chaff is, again, those of you who grew up in the South on a farm and you had the little, you know, you did your thing out there. I don't know. I grew up in L.A. So, but y'all did something, right? And the chaff was like the stuff that comes off the weed and the corn and all that kind of stuff. And the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, just a little dust that blows away. So everything, even though they think they have stuff and they're doing stuff, is just like the chaff. It's just blown away. I looked up chaff. It says to be driven away by the wind. That's the Hebrew translation. It's chopped hay or straw. Let's try it again. Synonyms. Y'all did good with the verbs. Synonyms for chafe. All right. They say the wicked will be like the chafe, which just blows away. What's a synonym? Where are my students at? Let's try this. What does a synonym do? Chris. Okay, Chris wants to be bold. All right, Chris. A synonym, because I saw jail them. They were trying to get it. Go ahead, Chris. A synonym is?
Different words, same meaning.
Different words, same meaning. Woo! We English, we can do that. Yes, yes, yes. Math, what's 1 + 1?
2.
All right, okay. All right, Ivy. 14. Okay, Ivy. That's all right. Let's stick to English. But here's... Not 1 and 1. That would have been 11. That ain't even 14. Ivy, I'm concerned about you. Okay. We'll talk after service, Ivy. How about that? Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, the wicked, but are like the chafe. And then when we looked up the synonym, thank you, Chris, synonym for chafe is garbage and trash. The ungodly are not so, but are like the garbage and trash which the wind driveth away. Puts a whole new slant on it, doesn't it? That's why in verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand. They're not going to participate in the judgment. They will be judged. They won't participate, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's see, I looked up some more. Let's see what I got in here. The judgment is the deciding of a case. So when the wicked's case is decided, they have no words for that. We know that the righteous and the ungodly are like oil and water. Righteous means that you're just or justified or correct. And we know the only way that we are just or justified or correct is through Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Oh, but this is one. Let's finish with this. Verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way. So I looked up the way in the Hebrew. The way means it means journey. For the Lord knows the journey. Wow, Lord, the Lord knows your journey. He knows your direction. He knows your habit. He knows your path. He knows the course of your life. He knows the road. He knows the distance that you've traveled. God knows your journey. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Be encouraged. Amen?
Amen.
But then look at that. But the way, he knows the way of the ungodly as well. And it says it should perish. It shall be destroyed. It shall vanish. It shall break. It shall come undone. It'll be lost. The way of the ungodly will be exterminated. Man. But I ain't going to leave y'all like that. Go to Psalms 18. I ain't going to leave on that low note. I know better than that. He says, let's speak to each other in the psalms and hymns and the songs. The praise and worship is so important. I love praise and worship. I love to worship God. Why? Because it encourages our heart. God speaks to us through worship, and we speak to God through worship. So I said, speak to each other in psalms and hymns. So here, look at Psalms 18. It says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Look at verse 2. Did I say 18 and 1?
Yeah.
All right, look at 18 and 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He's my shield, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And that's where we'll pick it up next week. So let's just bow our heads for a minute as we... Lord, we want to thank you and we want to bless you, Lord. For number one, for choosing us, Lord. And giving us the option, Lord, to choose you. You could have left us in darkness. We didn't even know that we needed you. But we thank you, Lord, and you didn't just choose us. You said we're your special treasure. Lord, let us believe that so we could live it, Lord. If we're a special treasure, we don't want to live like the chaff, like the trash or the garbage. God, have mercy on us. How often have we chose to be garbage when you've called us to be and chosen us to be a special treasure? Forgive us for that alone, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for 9 a.m. to 10:30, Lord. But we pray right now, Lord, when we step out of these doors and we have to deal with the realities of life and the temptations and the frustrations and the distractions and the haters, that we stand strong on your word that tells us we are your special treasure. And we don't let the enemy convince us that we're not. But we stay in your word. So we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your psalms, Lord. We want to be that tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth the fruit in the right time, in your time. Our leaf will not wither, and whatsoever we do will progress. It will be profitable when we're in your word and we're living according to your word. And we thank you for that. We bless you, Lord. And we thank you that you are our rock and our shield and our buckler. You are our high tower. You're the horn of our salvation. Oh, my God. I will love thee, oh, Lord. You're my strength. Maybe someone's here and saying, Pastor, I got to get to first base. I need to accept Christ. I have not accepted Christ. So I want to accept Christ because he's already chosen me. Now I need to acknowledge and accept and believe in him. If that's you, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I just need to get back on track. I now realize I'm that special treasure, but I hadn't been living like it. I want to rededicate. Get back lined up with God and commit to him, recommit to him. If you want to rededicate this morning, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you've been visiting and you say, Pastor, I need to latch on and I want to be somewhere where I know the love and the presence of God is. I want to join this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. I'm going to ask my sister Jackie to come up. And I'm going to ask some of the ladies just to come and just, we pray for rededication. And we thank the Lord that he put it on Jackie's heart to travel all the way from San Pedro, probably past 100 churches on the way. God brought her here to South Bay Abundant Life Church to fellowship with us this morning. So, Lord, we're so grateful and we're so thankful. Now, we've never stopped praying for Jackie and Mark and for all those who's come in these doors. We're always praying and just thankful. So, Lord, we're so grateful. You reminded her this morning how much of a special treasure she is, how you've never forgotten her, how you've never left her, how you'll never leave or forsake her. And you reminded all of us, Lord. And when we internalize that and realize, why have I been living like trash when I'm a special treasure? Why have I been hanging out with the garbage when I'm a special treasure? Lord, thank you for the reminder. When we realize who we are, it changes everything. It's a game changer this morning, Lord. So we thank you for all of us, Lord, as we all rededicate and say, God, we're going to do better because we need to and we can. We're going to participate in our own spiritual growth. Lord, I'm praying for my sister Jackie. Surround her with the right people, with the right friends. Send laborers into her life, her Christian friends, Lord. Let her fellowship with them, Lord. Let her reach out to them. Let them strengthen each other, Lord. And for us here at South Bay Abundant Life Church, let her know that we're here for her to encourage, to admonish, which means to warn gently in love. And just to be there, to listen, to pray. Yes. And I say, girlfriend, we're with you as we walk this thing together. Let her know she's not alone. She got a family and a body of believers that love her and her family dearly. So, Lord, we thank you that your word says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to live in bondage. We cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. You throw our sins in the sea of forgetfulness and you remember them no more, as far as the east is from the west. So I'm praying for my sister, Lord, as she confesses her sins, as we all confess our sins, that we're not in bondage. We are free in Christ. We will not listen to the lies of the enemy, but we're going to stand on God's word as a special treasure that we are, with a hope, a purpose, and a future in God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this special Sunday morning. Thank you for visiting us once again, Lord. So we bless you and we bless our sister Jackie. We consider it done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again, Pastor.
Love you, sister Jackie.
I love you too.
Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug and you are dismissed. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.